Hello everyone, welcome back to Newcastle Fans TV. Scoring the players is always controversial, but what about scoring the players end of season? Now that is going to be very controversial. I'm here with Sam Mulner and Lee Lawler. Got 28 players to go through, I think, so we've got a lot of work to do, gents, but let's start with Martin Dubravka. Go on, Lee, I'll let you start with Newcastle's number one.
Well, thanks, I get the easy one, yes. Fantastic season, year in, year out, as Johnny's cat will appear. You might see my cat appear later on, disclaimer. Yeah. The first three quarters of the season, before lockdown, he was severely tested, running away with the amount of shots saved. I don't think he's actually had too much to do since the return of football. I know we've conceded a few goals, but none of us have said on, oh, Dubravka's the man of the match in the last 10, 11 games, because I don't think he's been tested as much, despite putting five past against Man City and all of that. But I think year in, year out now, he's predominantly reliable. He does have a mistake in him, let's face it, he does, but the amount of times he wins with points, I don't think it's a 10. You kind of say Dubravka's been faultless
all season. Does he get a 10?
I think he gets a 9 for me, a 9 out of 10.
Right, 2 seconds, I'm just going to move the cat.
What does your cat get? That's the real question there, Johnny. I reckon he gets a 7. A cat gets a 7.
Jesus. I tell you what, between yours two cats, I mean, hopefully Charlie will run in later and ruin something. So
there you go. Mine's on demand, literally just like that. Aren't you? Oh, just close whilst you're there. So yeah, 9 out of 10 for me, Johnny.
9 out of 10 for Martin Dubravka. I think that's a good result for Martin, because he has made the other error this season, but some fantastic saves, as Lee's mentioned. That's kept us in it, let's be brutally honest. Carl Darlow, obviously played the cup game, Sam. It's tough for a number two goalkeeper at Newcastle, because he didn't even play the Rochdale away game, which I found a bit peculiar at the time, but he's never really let us down.
No, he hasn't. Obviously, he's not featured in the Premier League due to the COVID. As he was about to get his chance, there was the lockdown, so Dubravka could get fit. So we're basing it purely on essentially cup form. He's done okay. As backup keepers go, I don't mind Darlow. He was good in the Championship, way better than Sells, and I prefer him just about to Elliot. Good shot stopper. Did okay. It got a bit squeaky bum towards the game, end of the game at West Brom, but on the whole, Darlow's fine. 6 out of 10, just above average, isn't he?
Rob Elliott gets a non-applicable. Fantastic servant for Newcastle over the years, and you know, loves the air, he loves the city. And that's what we actually want. We want people to appreciate what we've got up here, because it is our little goldfish bowl, I suppose. But yeah, Rob Elliott gets a non-applicable because he didn't play any games this season. Let's move on to the defenders. I'm going to start with Danny Rose. Didn't start great for Newcastle, it has to be said. I think he just wasn't fit. He didn't look fit. You can tell he hadn't played a lot of games beforehand. When he was at Spurs, Mourinho just throws him out. And people are thinking, oh, what have we got here? But he has steadily improved from his time in January until July, which obviously has been interesting, to say the least. It's difficult because you've got to look at what he did beforehand to what he's done now. I'm going to go 6, because there has been some good performances towards the back end, and I think it's probably because they're more recent in my memories. I think in the cup game against Man City, he was probably one of the only few players that did well in that game. I thought he was good against Sheffield United. Villa, he was all right. I would say 6 is probably about fair, but would I like to see him in the future? That's for the keep, sell and loan video that we might be coming out soon as well. So there you go. Jetro Valenz, Mr. Lawler.
Oh, you give me the good ones, aren't you? I'm liking this. Keep this going.
Come, we'll see how it goes in the next few after that.
Oh, I've spoken so early.
Jetro, what a player that he was when he came to Newcastle. Again, started a bit shaky against Arsenal, Lee, but just gradually became a really important player for us.
At one stage in the season, he was top for one-on-one duels. People couldn't get past him. And that was surprising. But the man is built. He's got legs bigger than all three of us put together. Roberto Carlos, legs. Two wonderful goals against two big sides. Obviously, I went crazy at Anfield. The one against Manchester City was a great goal as well, so you can get forward. Gradually improved. Injury, that's the only downfall. And obviously, you scored Danny Rose a 6. I think Willems has been much, much better. Yes, Willems has had a longer run in the team up until the new year. But I think he's been a fantastic loan buy. And it's been on the cards as well, Johnny, for a good couple of years because he visited when Ronaldo was playing as well. We've been heavily linked to him. Wanted to come to England to play on the left because he was playing in midfield in Germany, which didn't suit him. I'm going to have to score really high and go a 9. I think he's been sensational.
Chacho Felem's got a 9. That's incredible.
Why not?
Because that's the same score as Dubravka. Don't get me wrong, I agree, he's been fantastic. And I love Willems to bit after he got that calamitous piece of miscommunication when he came on against Arsenal. But again, that was in midfield. He's a fantastic left-back. We should definitely sign him, but it's just a case of injuries getting in the way. He's only played half a season. To give him the same score as the player of the season is very generous.
Dubravka's not my player of the season.
Who is your player of the season?
Well, maybe we'll touch on him very shortly. It's pretty obvious if it's not Dubravka, isn't it?
But is it? Mankio.
That's who you're talking about next time, actually. So you're giving that a little spoiler. Oh.
It's a 9. It's a 9 for me.
9 for Jethro Willems. Who do you think's next, Sam? Javier Mankio. Got a new contract, new 4-year deal. So you'd have to say he has improved throughout the season. It's difficult for me talking about because he's not my top player. I just don't rate him at all. But that's what we all like, his opinions. What is your opinion of him?
Look, Mankio's done really well, considering our expectations of him when he signed. I couldn't believe I had my head in my hands when Rafa signed him. So why are you bringing this guy in? He's absolutely woeful. But at the end of the day, for at least 12 months now, he's been our first choice right back. He's made the shirt his own. Got ahead of Yedlin, and they tried to replace the pair of them with Kraft. That hasn't worked, which we'll come on to. Mankio, don't think he's been brilliant since the restart, but, you know, we've got to be careful not to have too short of memories. Earlier in the season, he was fine. He was okay. He done well. If we're going to progress and move forward, Javier Mankio should not be a first-choice right-back, let's face it.
Agree.
I'm toying between a 6 and a 7. I'm going to go 6.
A very positive Brummy. Have you ever heard that before? Right, Yondre Yedlin.
Not Brummy.
Am I having Yedlin? Are you giving me Yedlin?
I'm having Yedlin. Not good enough anymore for this football club. His pace helps him a lot to get out of trouble sometimes. But going forward doesn't offer you anything. Defensively, this season has been very, very poor. He had a little bright couple of games, bright moments midway through the first half of the season. But that has pretty much been about it for Yondre Yedlin. Can I see him at Newcastle next season? I don't think so. But I'm going to give Yondre Yedlin a 3 out of 10. I don't think he's been good at all this season.
Oh, that's harsh.
No.
Brutal. Oh, I know. am I getting crap, am I? Are you going to throw him?
No, I've got Federico Fernandez the next thing on my list.
Oh, I'll have him. Yeah, I'll have him. Keep this up. Yeah, I'm liking this, Johnny.
I hate how he's getting some good players. Yeah, he's like the positivity, isn't he?
Yeah, I'll have him.
Federico Fernandez, what a stalwart. What a season it's been for arguably Newcastle's number one centre-back, do you think, this year, Lee?
In terms of form, yeah, I don't think he's first choice. I think he'll always be the captain. I think Jamal will always be picked first. Last season he was in and out. This season just gone. He's came in and really since early October, he's been first choice with Jamal if they're both fit. I think his experience helps him. He's not blessed with great pace, but his knowledge and awareness around him. And you've got to remember, Fernandez has had a lot of different partners, in particular the last 10, 11 games as well. He's had fullbacks play alongside him. He's had Callum Watts, who nursed him through the last 15, 20 minutes recently. So he's had a few different options, but chipped in with a couple of good goals. Very steady Eddie. I think if it wasn't because of his age, he might be considered, and if he played for a bigger side, he might be in the back in the national side again. But mine's between 8 and 9. I'm in between that bracket. But because he's had a great season, he just misses out on a 9 for me, but it's a very high 8 for me.
Just misses out on a 9, does Newcastle's possibly number one centre-back at the minute, but... Again, fantastic season for Federico Fernandez. Jamal Lascelles, the club captain, Sam. I don't know on this one.
Yeah, it's not been a vintage season for him, has it? But
he's had some bright sparks, it has to be said, though. Some
games excellent. And the thing is, with Lascelles, we miss him when he's not playing. We're missing that barking leadership on the pitch, especially when he was injured earlier on in the season. We were crying out for him because there was just nothing on the pitch. There was no talking. There was no, you know, just was it Brighton or Watford where he just barked at Danny Rose, which was just absolutely brilliant. That's the only thing that you can advocate, not having crowds in the ground floor so you can listen to stuff like that. It was majestic. I'd probably give him a 7 because Fernandez, as you know, rightly said, he's by far and away been our best centre-back this season. But whatever you think of ourselves, it's not been a classic season for him. It's not been a season where we're all looking saying he's deserving an England call-up, because he's probably not quite deserved it as much as he has in previous seasons. But he's still a miss when he's not playing, so 7.
Fabian shares next for me. People are going to probably remember those Man City games and go, he was awful, he was this, he's that, he's other. But towards the start of the season, Newcastle were picking up points and he was playing a part, whether it was coming off the bench and just doing a job or being that part of that three-man centre defence. He was doing a good job for Newcastle. Has he had a good from since lockdown? No, he hasn't really. His form hasn't been brilliant. But you can't just judge him on, say, 2-3 games, because it is unfair. I would say Fabian Schär gets a 6 for me. He's not been as good as Lascelles. He's not been as good as Fernandez. And he hasn't been as good as probably other centre-halves that we're going to mention. But for me, don't judge him on the City games, because that's not the games that we're looking at. Judge him against the games this season. Your Bournemouth, for example. Those are the Brightons. Those are the games. Because at the end of the day,
he was man of the match, wasn't he? Earlier exactly, in the year.
Exactly. And he has contributed with a couple of goals as well this season. So I'm going to go with 6 out of 10 for Fabian Schär. Kieran Clark, you're getting the, you actually are getting all the good ones, which is really frustrating. Excellent season for Kieran Clark.
Yeah, it's just his injuries, isn't it? That's the only thing that I think he has with Federico Fernandez being in terms of being on the pitch. Those two are the best defenders for me in terms of form. Kieran's just been unlucky. He's been really, really unlucky in terms of injuries. So never puts nothing wrong. I think both of you can't really see how he's had more than one bad game at Newcastle. It's his fault. It's his mistake. It's never him. Leader, a bit like Jamal Lascelles as well. Chips in with goals every season, even if he only plays 20-30 games. Because a bit with Jet Row, both of them will score high, but I don't think Kieran's quite a 9, but I will score him in the similar bracket to Federico Fernandez, where it's an 8. I think he's really improved. I think if you had the full season, I'd probably notch that a bit higher. But yeah, I hope he stays. I know we've got a lot of competition in the next video, what score, but yeah, Mr. Steady Eddie, great, 8 out of 10.
The next on the list is Florian Lejeune, Sam. Now, again, very similar to Kieran Clark, injury prone. Came back in probably the worst possible time, where it was just game after game after game in December. Some mistakes, but understandable to an extent. Has he really pushed on, though, this season?
We can't, because he's been injured for 90% of it, which is such a shame. It's such a shame, because when everyone's fully fit and firing, I'm adamant he's our best centre-back. If you get a solid, uninterrupted, on form 12, 18 months out of Florian Lejeune, he could play for a top 16. So, which isn't going to sound great after the season he's had, but you got to look at the bigger picture. He's been... This is kind of a negative on Bruce. He was chucked in at the deep end. First game back was Palace, which was obviously synonymous for Miggy's first goal. He should have been rested after that, but he played 3 games in a week after that. It was absolutely crazy. He had a mare at Old Trafford. He had a mare against Leicester. Obviously, his highlights... The highlights of the season were Everton. Them two goals in stoppage time, which are absolutely batshit crazy. Absolutely superb. But what can you can't score him highly. That Everton game alone, I mean, he got a 10 out of 10 from Mr. Lawler, sat in his car outside Goodison for 10 minutes work, did Lejeune that night. But you can't even...
He's the worst defender you've got. You've got to score him the worst. I think it's his form and his injuries. I don't think
It's so injury prone, which just ruins the peak years of his career because he's such a talent.
I think there's actually a debate. You could have now, which you probably wouldn't have had maybe 12, 18 months ago. Is he still actually Newcastle's best defender at the club?
Right now, he's not the best because I think there's two or three ahead of him, which I've already mentioned.
I agree.
So I think his future's not great at the moment with another one, but stay tuned for that next video.
Yeah, but the thing is with Lejeune, if he's still injured between the start of next season and, say, Christmas, then, no, fair enough. You've got to kind of cut your losses almost. But if he gets back fit and a run of games under him, you know, form is temporary, class is permanent, that old adage. But because I still do believe, as I've said, and I will continue to say, I will continue to beat the drum, he is our best centre-back when all fit and firing. So, but in terms of a grade for this season, I mean, 4, 5.
What are you going with?
5, because just because of that Everton game.
I think I'd have gone with 5 for that on its own. Paul Dummett's next for me. Unlucky because obviously he was fit at the end of the season, but with Premier League rules and COVID and everything, he couldn't play the last 9 games or so. Had some excellent performances at the start of the season. That Tottenham game, Lee will never forget. He got Sky's man of the match, and we gave Lascelles man of the match on that performance. But he was, you know, just as good, if not better, potentially some would say. Again, injuries are a big issue. Sometimes being played out of position slightly, but he doesn't really give you bad performances anymore. But on the overall scale of things, when you haven't played a lot of games and you're injured, well, how do you mark him? I'd probably mark him a 6. And I think it's because, again, when he's been playing, he doesn't really let you down. You don't see from a couple of years ago, Paul Dummett errors. Those have come out his game now. Is he the best that we've got? No, he's not. There are other defenders at the club better. But for what he does and what he brings to the club, I think 6 out of 10 is probably the highest I could give him today. Emile Craftley, there's your first one.
Hey! Where do you start? Where do you start with him? I was down at Norwich.
Is he good enough?
Nah, he's not good enough. And I have to say, he might not even be good enough for the Championship as well. When I went to Norwich, he was disastrous. I could see him on the touchline. But the thing is, with Craft, he's predominantly been fit. He's only been out a short period, so you can't even get in ahead of Yedlin, Manquillo, Lazaro. Even Hayden's had a spell there. He looks nervous. He looks shaky. And I'm not just basing it on him playing out of position recently and towards the end. Overall, this season, he's been cheap, but he has been a bit of a disaster signing. I think he's probably the worst defender at the club.
Yeah.
And he's had a couple of decent games, but 2 out of 16, 17, not good enough. And I'm going to be generous and score him a 2. I think that's been generous.
Wowzers. That is going to be... I don't even know why I've said that. I feel like I'm 16-year-old again. No, it is going to be a debate in the comments, these scores, so get your comments in as well. And we'll see if you agree with us. You know, it's all about opinion here at Newcastle Fans TV. Let's move into the midfielders. You've got a lovely one to start off with, Sam. You've got the joint top goal scorer, in all competitions, joint top goal scorer, but in the Premier League, and that's Jonjo Shelvey. Given the captain's armband at points this season, you wouldn't have got that under Rafa last year.
No. If Rafa would have still been here, Jonjo Shelvey wouldn't. New contract this season as well, and thoroughly deserved. There was a big debate beforehand about whether Shelby's, you know, do we extend, do we cut our losses, let him go? But no, I think he's been superb this season. There's been a maturity to his game at last throughout the season. He's had the odd poor performance, but everyone has. Every footballer this season has had the odd poor performance. But on the whole, I'm going to give him an 8 because he's stepped up in some big moments, got some goals, free kicks at West Ham, lovely equalisers at home to City, even a header against Southampton. He's done it all this year. There's no more missed kind of... He can go missing for two or three games. And I know Fordy was stood outside Villa Park, laying into him and this, that and the other, but he bounced back from that and that performance came. I'm not saying it was all Clinton Ford inspired from John Joe, but, you know...
He's changed his game as well, Sam. We've talked about this on the channel where we used to hate it when he used to pick the ball off the defender and just start pinging it diagonally 6 yards. Doesn't do that as much nowadays.
No, he brings it forward and looks for a sensible pass as well as the odd 60-yard diagonal worldie, which he has got in his locker, obviously. I really like Shelby. I really do. That's why I've given him an 8.
Matt Ritchie is next for me. Obviously, after that horrible injury against Leicester in the cup from Hamza Chowdhury, you know, we didn't see him for months on end. So, and we did miss him. I do think we missed him at spells throughout the first half of the season. But effort, we say this all the time about Ritchie. Effort, he would be getting 10 out of 10 every season because he does. He cares so much about this football club. And he got a new contract as well alongside John Joe Shelby. I just want to see him add a bit more assists and goals to his game. But I think, obviously, from lockdown, coming back into the team, he scored against Sheffield United. He scored against Spurs. He's got that in his locker. Can we get that a little bit more consistent? Because if he does, that's the Matt Ritchie that we love at Newcastle. But obviously, you've got to look at the fact that he did miss a large bulk of the season. I'm going to give him a 6, just because he missed a large bulk. If it was just based on the games he played, you're looking at a 7. So there's not much in it with that one. My personal player of the season is the next player, Lee, and that's Isaac Hayden. I think, for me, we'll touch about other players probably going forward, ASMs, etc. But this guy is so consistent right now. And I'm such a big admirer of him because when he plays, I feel so much at ease. I feel comfortable when he's in the middle of our midfield, as Isaac Hayden does.
Yeah, he's brilliant as well. Well, we put a tweet out, didn't we, the other day? Sam, you put that out. People will get recognition. He doesn't get hardly any. He does off our own fan base. But, you know, we always worry when he's not in the side because we don't have a natural replacement who can just sit there and slide tackle. He's famous for his slide tackles, a bit like Paul Dummett is, isn't he? He loves a good slide challenge. And Hayden always gets injured, but because he's putting his foot in all the time, he gets little injuries and he's up. He's got to be your first choice. I think if you pick between him and him and Shelby, Hayden gets picked first because of that safety. You can have a Matty alongside him, you can have a Sean, but it's always going to be Hayden because we've only got one specialist. And I think as a club, he needs that competition as well. I just think because he plays for Newcastle, he's better than Eric Dier for me. He's better than Eric Dier. Jordan Henderson's had the season of his lifetime, but before this season, I'd probably say, yeah, Hayden's ahead of Jordan for me, for England, but he's just so unsung hero. He never scores any lower than a 6 ever on our scoring the players. A couple of red cards we have, yes, Cardiff, Leicester early on the season, but apart from that, he's so reliable and you can't be too far. And I think if he plays for a bigger side, he'll be in that England squad, no doubt. I don't think he's as high as some others in my list, but I will score him a very high 8 out of 10 for me. But I don't think none of us will disagree it's lower than an 8.
No, he's been so consistent, as you said, and I think he is the number one midfielder on the team sheet, in my personal opinion, especially in that 2 centre-mids that we've mentioned. So, yeah, I agree with that. Mickey Almiron's next, Sam. Mickey Almiron.
Yeah,
it took him a long time to get that first goal, and he got that assist against Man City in November. Inconsistent, but bright sparks occasionally. Like I'm thinking the Wolves game away from home, I thought he was excellent. A couple of games at home, he's had moments. The FA Cup, he's had a good run at him personally. His first full season in England, you've got to remember, Sam, what we're thinking on this one.
Well, he smiled throughout. I like Miggy Almiron. At the start of the season, he was becoming a bit of a joke from the outside looking in. But fans, I'm really pleased that they've stuck with Almirón, because we could see he was always putting in a shift. I mean, some of them early games were so horrible and disastrous to watch, in particular because Bruce didn't know how he wanted to play. Some would say he still doesn't. But the thing is, he was so unlucky as well. I remember that Bournemouth game, the 2-1 win at home, where he was hitting his own player as the ball was about to go in, and it was just, will he ever score? Finally got the goal against Palace, which was amazing. And he's kicked on from there, really. He's done really well up until, I think he was one of the players that the enforced, you know, pandemic kind of came at a bad time for him, because he was ticking over really nicely. I don't think he's been quite the same since the restart. I think he's looked a bit jaded, but I don't think Bruce's tactics has helped him, nor did Bruce's tactics really help Isaac Hayden around Christmas time when he was fiddling with formations again. But on the whole, Almirón, I'm going to go 7, because I don't think he's been quite as good.
I agree. I think that's a fair assessment of Almirón.
There are games where he can go missing, so...
I would score him an 8. I know it's Sam's scoreline, but I think because the graft that he puts in is not seen by other fans, and I hate him playing on the right-hand side, I just think he's wasted.
But he's getting a 7, because me and Johnny agreed.
I know, but seven goals from a winger, that's not a bad return.
No, it's not, but the thing is, the FA Cup games, you know, that run, you're playing lower league teams. Shelby's the top league goal scorer this season, which tells you all you need to know about our forward line. But no, there are some games since the restart where he has gone missing. But I like him. I like him. I'm glad he's at Newcastle. I wouldn't get rid of at all. Spoiler alert for the video later. But I love him to bits. We need to see him kick on. We need to see more from him. Add more assists to his game and a level of consistency.
Get in the comments if you agree with me and Sam with a 7, or do you think he deserves an 8 or higher with Lee? Get your comments and we'll see what people think when this video gets released as well. Christian Atsu's next for me. Yay. got the assist for Joe Linton's goal against Tottenham, which people seem to forget. He was excellent that day, I have to be honest. He was really good. He got a really good mark that day. But that's probably as good as it got for Christian Atsu this season. Defensively, we'll do a job on a good day.
Look, I'm struggling.
But he's championship quality.
Straws here.
Yeah, I very much am. Championship quality at best, in my opinion, especially if he wants to go forward, because he's not very good at going forward. An assist for the free kick from Man City, and Shelby's just coming to my head, but I'll go 4. I'll go 4, but not with any confidence, really. Sean Longstaff. Now, this might be a bit of a debate. Lee, he was earmarked for a Man United move at the end of last season. Didn't materialise for whatever reason. He's had brief moments. We all went to the Wolves game and I thought he was excellent. He was man of the match for me against Wolves, and even Almirón scored that day. That's how well I thought he played. But we didn't see that. Have we seen the best of Sean Longstaff this season?
Nah, I think he's been average. Nah, I don't like criticising one of our own either. Very indifferent season, injuries, different positions, holding. I think he does look better in the 10. Seen the performance against Bournemouth for the first half an hour. That's for me his best half an hour all season. Only injury took him off. So, look, I don't think we'll get rid of him, of course not. But I think Sean can go on to another level. And I think Matty's grabbed the headlines a bit more than Sean this season. I think it has been a very indifferent season. But so close from maybe in England under 21 before he got that injury last season. And then his form was possibly looked at as a potential target, as you say, at Man U. Maybe in the England squad, who knows? But this season, I'm going to have to score him a 5. I think he's been right down the middle for me. There's been too many games where we've said after games, coming away from home and away, Sean wasn't at it today, Sean wasn't at it today, Sean wasn't at it today. We haven't talked many games that he's been great in.
I feel sorry for him a little bit, because I agree with what you first said, Lee. He he's much better going forward. He's much better as a number 10, and that's what he did when he was on loan at these different clubs that he played for.
Years ago, I said this lad will go for. He's got double figures.
Sorry, we need to interrupt. There's breaking news. The takeover's off.
Hi, everybody. So at this moment, whilst we were recording, we found out that the takeover was off. So if we feel a little bit downbeat for the rest of the video, that is why. Let's get back to it.
Matty Longstaff is next. Sam, the goal against Man United, home and away, people will always remember. But don't think he'll be at the club next season, will he?
No, we're really buggering up these brothers' Newcastle's career. Broke into the side for the Man United game, got the winner at the Gallagher end. Life is great. Put in some decent performances alongside his brother. He was good for Wolves away there as well. Real tenacious little player. I'm going to give him a 6 because we haven't seen enough of him. And it's a great shame. Great shame that we haven't seen enough of him. And it would be no surprise if he goes on now and fulfills his potential elsewhere. It's just one of frustration, especially since the restart, and we've seen Bentaleb get ahead of him. Who knows, his head might have been turned. We don't know the ins and outs of the contract dealings, changed agents midway through. We don't know. But, he's getting a 6. But I hope he stays and we get to see more of him. But I'm not hopeful.
Nabil Bentaleb's next on my list. Had a good half at best against West Brom. He had a good game against Bournemouth. I have to say that he did have a good game against Bournemouth, but that's it. That's literally been it for Nabil Bentaleb. Too many poor performances. I hope Newcastle don't sign him in the future. 3 out of 10 for me for Nabil Bentaleb. Valentino Lazaro.
Just scoring over him there. He's cracking.
Yeah, just I don't even want to talk about it that much more often. Valentino Lazaro, Lee, another player that Newcastle have had on loan. Not given much of a chance, really, in his right position.
There's been bright spells where when he started at West Brom, he was first put over on the right-hand side, scored a goal, and now West Brom are in the Premier League. So you could say they were Premier League opposition when we played them down at the Hawthorns, scored against Bournemouth. He just hasn't been given the chance, and it's a real shame because I think there is brightness there. I don't like him at right wing-back, I'm not going to lie. I don't think he's get these full... You've seen it in Arsenal for a couple of goals. He was at fault for not marking tightly. So defensively, he doesn't look great. Going forward, he looks very bright. Because he hasn't been given the chance, but he has been bright. I don't think he's been so average, but I think he's just better. So I would score Lazaro probably a 6 because he has shown glimpses. It's just factors have stopped him scoring higher. So 6.
Yeah. Sam, Alan Saint-Maximin. Newcastle's brightest spark going forward. A lot of people have said he's been the player of the season.
And I would agree.
I disagree. I think he was a bit too inconsistent at the start of the season. But one thing I would say at the start of the season, every time he was on the ball, I was on the edge of my seat, a bit like what Ben Arthur did back in the day. If he can add more end product, this lad will not be at Newcastle much longer, in my personal opinion at the minute. But... is that the only thing stopping him from getting maybe a 9 out of 10 in your ratings?
Yeah, well, he definitely won't be now the takeover's off, as we found out during the recording of this.
Yep.
So, start of the season, again, we never saw much of him because pulled a hamstring early on in the Spurs game, went off early doors. Obviously, in the middle of that, there's just electricity and just rawness and just sheer potential and excitement every time he gets on the ball. And then towards the end of the season, we've become over reliant on him. Bruce hasn't looked after him. He's been overplayed. He looks exhausted. The season couldn't come quick enough. I mean, he went off at half time for the last game of the season, and then all of a sudden he was back in France that night. So he's a fantastic player. He really is. He's our best player now. It depends. I mean, for our now wonderful owner, how much is he worth?
That's what we're looking at. 60 million upwards.
5 years on his deal.
60 million. He had a great first season for a club that doesn't really attack. Up there with the most dribbles. Flamboyant, can go past players. If he plays with better players, I mean, there's links with Wolves recently. You can imagine Traore and Alan St. Maximum on the wings, man. Four. Jesus. If he plays
with that tells us all you need to know. We shouldn't be losing players to freaking Wolverhampton Wanderers, should we?
No, we shouldn't, but if he played with better players and an attacker mentality, he'll play for France. He will. That's how good he is.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, an international call-up shouldn't be far away from him if he carries on his trajectory. But, I mean, he's getting an 8 from me, and I know that's going to disappoint you, Lawler, but the thing is, there's been a few too many games where teams know about him now. He's no longer a secret weapon. He's just our biggest weapon. So
what's his best position?
Jesus.
Me and Sam had this argument, and did you say the left or the right? And I said the other. But
I put him on.
Depends who's behind him, I think, at times.
Exactly. I agree. And I think he got along better with Mankeo better than he did Rose. But Willems having that there. But then again, is that two attacking, kind of like Bernard and Robert? I don't know. The thing is, though, if you're playing 4-2-3-1, the three behind the central striker should all be interchangeable anyway. So it's neither here or there whether he's better on the right or the left. It is what it is, but I'll give him an 8. And it probably is a bit of a harsh 8 because he's our best player. But there's times in the season where he's not played and been injured a couple of times. And it's probably no fault of his own that we know Bruce doesn't look after his squad very well. So that's the reasoning why.
Let's move on to the strikers. Yoshinori Muto was next on my list. I've been giving myself some great ones today. loves a game against Leicester. As we've known, he seems like he's only time he plays football for Newcastle against Leicester. Hasn't been given a chance. I almost feel like I should put non-applicable for him, but he has played a couple of games. Like, what, 2, 3? I don't know, because he's not played.
Is it worse than Kraft? I'll give Kraft a 2.
I'll go 2, and that's probably being generous. He just doesn't. He's not part of Newcastle's future, in my opinion. And he's losing the striking options we've had this year, and he's still not getting a chance. That just tells you everything you need to know about Yoshinori Muto. Joe Linton-Lee, £40 million striker, 2 Premier League goals all season against Tottenham and Sheffield United. Discuss.
You give Emil Kraft 2. Look, he's played in every single game, but even not every 38 games he's played in, which is mental. Started off as a striker, as we all know. Moved to the left, sometimes on the right. He's found it really, really tough. Forget about the price tag for just for a second. He hasn't been great. We've slagged off Cristinazzo in the past. We've slagged off Jacob Murphy in the past. And now Joe Linton, the striker, has been forced there to play then. Again, he doesn't look great out wide either. So the options out wide, they take out Almiron and St. Maximum. You put Joe Linton in there. So he struggled for goals. He scored 4 in total, 2 against lower league side in the FA Cup. I don't think he will be sold because of his price tag, unfortunately. I think many fans would love to see him go. I don't think that'll happen. I think he will be given another season. But he's been really, really poor. It's a bad, bad choice. And it's not a Bruce signing. It's not a Rafa signing. None of them wanted him. It was done by Steve Nixon and his scouting crew. I'm trying not to criticise too much, but it's really difficult not to because he wins a lot of headers, yes, but he can't even hold the ball up. Andy Carroll's brilliant at that. He can't hold on to the ball for you. He can't be players. He can't finish. His sense of movement, like Gales, he has nothing like that. He's not a striker. He does not look like a striker. So I think he's the worst. In fact, I'm going to go lower than Kraft. I'm going to give him a 1. And I'm only giving him a 1 because of the endeavour and the effort that he does try and work off the ball. But that's it.
I think I could have put it much better myself. Possibly a bit harsh on the score. Get your scores in as well in the comments. If Jonathan deserves a little bit more, but would you have got more? I don't think I would have given more than a 3, if I'm being honest today. So, disappointing to say the least. Andy Carroll is next, Sam. The homecoming with no goals. but he has been a nuisance. He has got a few assists, just can't stay fit.
No, we knew this would happen. So it comes as no surprise. I thought he'd score, though, this season. I have to say that. But he's looked a nuisance. He has made things happen, and he's also, when he's been brought on, maybe sometimes to protect a lead, he's done wonders at the back. So no wonder why he volunteered to play centre-half towards the end of the season. Scoring-wise, 3. I mean, he's not scored. I mean, I kind of like having him around at the club, but 25-man squad, no goals from a striker, wants the number 9 shirt back. I don't see that one panning out quite well. I mean, we desperately need reinforcements in this department. I mean, our transfer budget now has gone from 3 billion to 3 quid in the space of an afternoon. So, I mean, just what do you do if our strike force is the same going in to next season as it was this season? I really fear for us. But hopefully he can stay fit, because when he's on, he can make stuff happen. Should have scored against Brighton, but you know, that's probably his first proper chance he's had on a plate for him.
Yeah. Dwight Gale. I've been umming and ahhing about this score, because 4 goals, but he's hardly played this season. And people will look at that miss against Man City, but he scored against the likes of Liverpool, took his goal well against Bournemouth and Aston Villa. It's just not, he couldn't keep fit, and when he was playing, he was just getting bit parts. But when he's in front of goal, you do feel a bit more confident than you do with a Joe Linton, obviously, a Carroll to an extent as well. So he has that going for him, and he's going to have to stay at the club next season, because at the minute, he's probably our number one striker at the club at the minute. And that tells you as it is. In terms of this season, I'm going to go straight down the middle. I'm going to go 5 out of 10, because he hasn't played 70% of the season. So can you give him much more than a 5? Because he's contributed and he's got a couple of assists as well. But again, that's pretty much since lockdown.
He's definitely the best striker. He's definitely the best striker, because he's proved that now. If you look at our strikers, you just mentioned the goals. How many have Mutu, Carroll and Joe Linton got between them? 2.
Gale
got double than 3 of them put together in the space of 8 games. So yeah, I'd probably agree on that. Maybe even if he had a longer spell on the side, he might push that up to a 6 if he played from, say, January onwards, but he hasn't. He's had 10 minutes and 5 minutes, and since the coming out of lockdown, he's proved that he's been number one striker, and Dwight Gale's not the answer, unfortunately. Now he's been number one.
Exactly. That tells you as it is, but that has been the player ratings, the score on the players. Do we mark Bruce on this one, or do we leave that one? We'll try and all agree on this one for Steve Bruce. He's done the bare minimum. He's kept the club in the Premier League, and that was pretty much the main objective under the current owners we've got. Look, there's been times we've been very disappointed with his team selection, the substitutions, not doing things earlier. But he has got some big results. I can think of Tottenham, and Chelsea, Manchester United. That sort of points you don't expect to get at the start of the season. For me, you're going to get 6. Does anybody disagree?
Me, I think you've got to go in the 7. I'll explain why, and I know that's hard given Bruce a 7, because you have mentioned he has done the minimum, but none of us would have expected to be that minimum, though. All of us thought we were going to get down as soon as Steve Bruce was at the point, and we're like, oh, God.
Yeah.
So I think he has kept it up. Granted, the FA Cup quarter-final, he was non-league. Well, I say non-league teams. It was lower league teams. Got were there. Manchester City game, it was a disaster how he set up. We all know that. But there have been some good moments. Spurs, Chelsea, Man United.
Craig Hope
biting back. Yeah. How's the bacon, did you say, as well? I think he's realised that the Rafa system doesn't work for him. Changing it, I think he realised that. I think he's done a good job, because all of us thought we'd be down. That's why I'm scoring him a 7. I think he's probably exceeded expectations as well. So for Steve Bruce to be 13th quarter FA Cup quarter final, comfortably safe by probably Southampton away when we won,
yeah,
I'll have to score him a 7 because of that.
Sam, where do you stand on this? I've gone 6, Lee's gone 7. What would you give him first and then your reasons behind it?
I'm going to go 6 because whilst he has done well...
I'm not going to disagree because I don't like Bruce.
And on the face of it, he has done well, but there are so many things I don't like about what's going on within the squad and how we're playing and systems. I don't think he knows our best starting 11. I don't think he knows what formation to play. There's just so many little undercurrents. I think the first few games next season are going to be huge for him because he'll be either doing really well. It's obviously going to be a really tough summer again because we're now back to square one. So recruitment and just everything's just going to be the same mess as it was when he came in. It wouldn't surprise me to see him gone by Christmas if we are doing really badly. But if he does really well, then fair play. He's built on the kind of, not fluky season he's had, but we've been very lucky at times this season. Very lucky. We won't get away with half of the stuff that we have this season again if we're only scoring, 38 goals all season. If our strikers are Joe Linton, Muto and Gale, if we go into them, we're not going to be pushing for top 10 like we were at the start of restart. I know that fell by the wayside, but, you know, we were. I don't know. There's just too many bad feelings in my stomach about him. I like the guy, but I can't be giving him any more than a 6.
Steve Bruce celebrating tonight because he's staying.
Yeah, that was scoring the players and Steve Bruce as well. Apologies if you think the video's been a bit deflating for the last 10, 15 minutes. Literally, we have just heard middle of this video that this takeover has collapsed with Amanda Seely and the PIF. So apologies for that. Obviously, you would have seen the video, a reaction video with us with that as well. So get your comments in. Who's been your best player of the season? Who's been the worst player of the season? Most improved? It has been a season to remember for Newcastle for all sorts of reasons. But that has been scoring the players. My thanks to Lee and Sam. And we'll see you all very, very soon.